Have you found the keys to unlock your best trip? On a Trafalgar tour, you unlock more than just the world. We give you the keys to discover real connections and one-of-a-kind experiences. It all starts with expert itineraries where everything is taken care of. With Trafalgar, your money goes further, and so do you. Unlock your best self. Discover more at trafalgar.com/unlock. That's trafalgar.com/unlock.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back, and we're going to go and hear about exactly how, you know, again, how your intelligence is being insulted, how the people there in New York, you know, the taxpayer, the citizens, well, they're excuse me. They're really being mocked. It's just unbelievable. And you know, I think they're gonna wake up. They gotta wake up soon. Go ahead and take it away, Style.
Metropolis is currently in a state of emergency as over 60,000 illegal immigrants have made their way into the area. Mayor Eric Adams has recently declared that 50% of the hotels in the city are now filled with migrants, and for the first time, we're getting an exclusive look at what the inside of one of these hotels looks like. We sat down with whistleblower Carlos Arellano, who worked inside the Row NYC for the past 7 months. This hotel, located one block from Times Square, previously rented rooms for $500 a night. Carlos shares it is now the largest migrant hotel in New York City.
So in the hotel, we have close to 5,000 migrants. It hovers between 4,800 to 5,000. It's the biggest hotel out there that's housing migrants. They housed 5,000 people together in 28 floors.
You have the NYC badge, so you're a city employee, correct?
Yes, I was a site administrator at the Row Hotel. Anything involving this hotel, I was helping run it.
One of the first stops migrants make when they are bused in is the Port Authority bus station. It's at this station that they are first dropped off, assigned a hotel, and sent to locations such as the Row NYC. So when a migrant comes to the hotel, what does the process look like?
They're taken to our intake center, which is, they just register their names, how many kids, and they give them rooms. With our medical team is where they determine if they need certain vaccinations, which are usually turned down by the migrants. They don't want them. But a lot of the times they will have some kind of sickness to them, and that's when they're Ubered out to hospitals that work with the migrant hotels. Everything ranging from doctor's visits to medication is paid for the migrants.
I believe we have a document where car seats can also be provided for the migrants as well, correct?
Yes, car seats, cribs for newborns. There's, I want to say, at least 2 to 3 babies a week being born at this hotel.
On top of free medical care and transportation, Carlos also shares that the migrants receive laundry services, housekeeping, and 3 meals a day alongside their hotel rooms.
Anything you can possibly think of, it's being given to them. Around 200 to 300 MetroCards a day are given for free. ID services, you know, ID NYC, they have IDs from the city of New York.
And what can they do with those IDs?
Well, a lot of people in this hotel are working with that ID. Aside from that, they're receiving, I've seen food stamps, cards arrive. A lot of services that are provided to them just for having this ID.
And then my other question for you too is, how much does it cost per day to feed these migrants?
So in our hotel, it's $383 for 5,000 people. And that's just for one day worth of meals.
In January of this year, it was reported that Mayor Eric Adams signed a $275 million contract that would fund the migrants staying in hotels across the city for the next 6 months, a budget of around $55,000 per migrant. However, the city is running out of hotel rooms, with Adams stating that some hotels don't want to shelter migrants. Carlos provided us with an inside look at the Row NYC that may give us some insight as to why.
The migrants being in those hotels have destroyed them. There's a lot of alcohol in these rooms. Housekeeping is there all week. and they'll clean it, and by the end of the night, it's there's kids getting drunk together, there's people hooking up with each other. I even have seen reports of certain managers who are using this to get intimate with people. It seems like the hotel is one big party. There's multiple guns in these rooms as well. The alarming thing is that this hotel is meant to be a family hotel. One situation that I'll never forget was I was on my lunch break and I was at Walgreens. And while I was in line, I saw one of the migrants sticking alcohol into their children's backpack. And they stick them in the children's backpack because they know we wouldn't dare to check a child's backpack. They do this kind of stuff all the time, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be a gun. They stick it in the strollers, under the baby.
During just our short time investigating the location outside of the hotel, we ourselves witnessed a migrant so drunk he could barely stand. But alcohol isn't the only issue at the Row NYC. Carlos shared incident reports and internal text messages detailing gunmen on the premises, children getting drunk, and migrants stealing from local businesses surrounding the hotel.
You were actually showing me some text messages between a social worker about a drunk 10-year-old in this hotel. Can you talk to us about what happened there?
Yeah, it was a drunk 10-year-old who was caught with a 14 and a 12-year-old, and all three of them were intoxicated. And when we looked them up in the system, the parents had checked out 2 days ago.
So the parents just left them there?
Yeah, the parents will leave the kids unattended in the hotel. And they think it's okay to leave for a day or two, sometimes even a week.
And you actually did provide us with a couple of incident reports. Let's go ahead and go over some of them, specifically the incident report where you have gunmen walking around the hotel. Talk to me about that situation.
We heard a security guard start yelling, there's a gun on site, there's a gun on site. It was probably an upset person that we had kicked out of the hotel, and it sent the whole hotel into a panic. And this is an everyday thing. I myself have been assaulted. I've seen other people get assaulted. I've had threats saying, you know, we'll be waiting for you guys outside. There's been times where staff has had to be, you know, escorted to their cars, to their trains.
Because the migrants are threatening them.
Yeah.
And why is that happening?
Because they want to get away with doing whatever the hell they want to do inside the hotels. There's one incident. It was my very first week working in this hotel. And it was a husband who was beating up his wife. It was my job and others' jobs to separate them. The brother of the husband shows up and starts telling the wife, why would you report him? Now they're going to kick him out of the hotel and deport him out of the country, which didn't happen. And then the brother rushes in and hits the wife on the face as well.
And as the hotel staff, what were you guys able to do with these two?
The solution always is, oh, they're intoxicated, send them to the hospital to sober up, and then they come right back into the hotel. It's either the hospital, or it's either send them to Port Authority and let the husband who's intoxicated get another hotel paid by the taxpayers of New York. Often at times there was migrants causing chaos with shoplifting. The one instant where I showed you that video, aside from being caught shoplifting, they started getting physical. And a lot of the times it was, you know, go calm the migrant down, get him inside the hotel.
We also spoke to the manager of the store right next to Row, who shared how the migrants have been affecting businesses in the area.
So there was previously tourists staying in this hotel, and now it's migrants, so you're not having the same amount of business coming through this area?
No, same. It's totally down, less than 50% the down. So I'm not against them, but I don't like to our business area. Take them another area, side of city or another place, not the middle of the city. We are facing, but we are the business, with the, not only my store, all area business is down for this one.
All of
only this area, 8th Avenue, 3-4 area, their business. You can ask any people, they'll say no business is down here.
On top of the violence, guns, and drug and alcohol abuse, Carlos shares that the infrastructure of the hotel is also starting to crumble.
This hotel is pretty much collapsing. One thing that I saw was the maintenance requests. And in these maintenance requests, it ranged from mold in the ceilings to mold in the walls to power outages in 10 rooms in one floor. The electrical infrastructure in this hotel is fried. We have everything from power outages to fires going off. The lobby ceiling, we've had that fall. And it's been flat out said by every agency in that hotel that they're just waiting for it to collapse. But the city does not want to start the process of getting them out because it's 5,000 people. So it's either going to start a riot, or during the riot, it's going to collapse the hotel because they don't want to leave the hotel. They love the location. Who wouldn't love, you know, living free next to Times Square? A lot of the migrants told me they could see the ball drop from their window.
The media has been reporting that one of the main reasons that migrants are overwhelming progressive cities is due to Republican governors such as Texas Governor Greg Abbott busing migrants into these cities. However, when asked if the migrants are happy to be in New York or if they even want to leave, this is what Carlos had to say.
If they want to leave the city of New York, they're given a bus ticket, a train ticket, a plane ticket in that very moment.
And who gives them that?
The city of New York is paying for it, and we are giving them that. They get tired of New York City, they move on to the next city. Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, they're traveling around.
Would you say that the majority of them want to stay in New York, or are they trying to go somewhere else?
So they come to New York wanting to go somewhere else, but at the same time, they see everything that's being given to them and that they're in right next to Times Square. So they decide to stay, and they don't want to leave. And their mindset is that this hotel situations are never going to close. And the city does nothing to tell them, hey, eventually the money runs out. When the money runs out, these hotels will close.
Carlos has worked in U.S. Immigration Services for the past 5 years, and he's the same whistleblower who came forward last year when he was working for MVM Inc. and realized that migrant children were being handed off to unvetted adults throughout the U.S. He has also worked as a contractor under organizations such as Customs and Border Patrol and the Office of Refugee Resettlement. However, despite being in the industry for so long, he shares that this is one of the worst situations he's ever seen.
I've never seen a situation as bad as this one, which is why I'm coming out. I'm not doing this anonymously anymore. I'm attaching my name, my face to this, because it's that bad. I've been doing this for 5 years, and in my 5 years, this has been the worst experience by far. The city of New York does not know what they're doing, and it's only going to get worse from here.
Talk to the viewers as well about what coming forward with this type of story means for you.
It's years of relationships, friendships that are going to be gone the minute this airs. But it's all worth it if I could do some kind of good. And that good is exposing how horrible the situation is in New York City regarding the migrants issue at the Royal Hotel. The city of New York should be ashamed of themselves for what they did. And this was a terrible decision to make, was this hotel. For the most part, there's no pressure, no rush, no urgency of fixing the situation. It's just keep paying for their hotel rooms, keep paying for their food, and hoping the situation fixes itself, but it's not going to fix itself. When the day comes that they tell them either you have to move to a new location, this site is going to close, the migrants are not going to understand. So there's no way to go about it. Everybody who's staying in that hotel is in this chat group. So the minute you try to move not just one floor, the minute you try to move one room, they're going to put it in the chat, and the word's going to spread through the whole hotel, and they're not going to go quietly. They're not going to go calmly, peacefully. the city of New York does not know how to handle any of this. I think they're just kind of hoping it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's going to somehow get better, and it's not getting better.
I've done all I can do. Why won't they help me? Biden revoked Donald Trump's efforts to exclude illegal immigrants from the census. He signed executive orders strengthening DACA. He canceled President Trump's interior enforcement rule. He halted construction of the border wall. He extended deportation protections for Liberians. Biden also suspended asylum deals with Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. And of course, he ended the Remain in Mexico policy, and then he let Title 42 expire. But this is supposed to be Republicans' fault. Well, the country is now waking up to what is the single greatest national security threat in our lifetime. Polls now show it is by far and away the number one issue for more Americans. Take a look at this video. Earlier this week, a vigil was held for the murdered Georgia student, nursing student, Lakin Riley, allegedly killed by an illegal immigrant, in this case from Venezuela. And sadly, she is just one example. And the pathetic part is the federal government doesn't even, take a look at your screen, doesn't even keep track of all the crimes that are committed by illegal immigrants. Why don't they keep track of that? Anyway, we'll keep scrolling that. Joining us now, though, for the hour is former President Donald Trump is with us. Sir, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. And thank you.
The day you came down the escalator, this was a big issue.
Yeah.
You were attacked right out of the box,
yeah,
you know, that day when you came down that escalator on this issue.
Well, I was hearing about it from a lot of people, and it was one of the primary reasons in 2016 that I ran. And I ran on the border, and I ran on other things, but I ran on the border largely. And we fixed the problem, and in 2020, it wasn't even a subject. I'd go out, I'd say, I want to talk about the border. They'd say, sir, you fixed the border. Nobody cares about the border anymore. Now what's happened is since the election, where we got millions more votes than we did the first time, we have a situation where this border makes 2016 look like baby stuff. It's probably the worst border. Not probably. It's the worst border ever in the history of the world. There's never been a border where 15, 16, maybe 18 million people have already crossed. And I think nobody has any idea what the number is. You know, the gotaways, they don't know what the gotaways are. We have millions and millions of people, and they come from jails and prisons. They come from mental institutions and, you know, a step above that, the insane asylums. And you just, it's just hard to believe. And you have terrorists coming. You know, I've noticed as somebody that watches your show a lot, I think you do a fantastic job. But you say 100% certain, I hate to hear it, that we're going to have a big attack at some point. That you're 100%.
I pray that I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're probably right. And that's a very sad thing. But I've heard you say it a few times that I said, I'm not going to dispute it. I hope you're wrong, but there's certainly a good chance. They're coming from numbers and countries that we wouldn't believe. So you have 28,000 from China, all fighting age. You don't see women, and you don't see men much older than that. It's from 18 to 25, 26 years old. And there's something going on. And they're coming from Yemen that we're bombing. They're coming from the Congo, from prisons in the Congo. The only good thing is it makes our prisoners look like very nice people, I'll tell you, because these are rough people that are coming in. When you see them from Venezuela fighting, having fist fights with the cops, we never saw that. You'd see cops be, a lot of bad things happen to cops, but you never saw people standing in the middle of a street in a fist fight. And if that happened in their country, they'd kill them within seconds. They wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't stand for it. So it's a very terrible thing. Our country is being poisoned. We're really being poisoned. And it's hard to believe. You know, as a business guy, you always want to understand the other side. I want to understand, what is the other side thinking, even if you disagree? I don't know what they're thinking, because who can want this? Who can want millions of people from lots of bad places pouring into our country? And you're right, we have not seen. This is just the beginning. You know, we're just starting to see, I call it migrant crime. I really call it Biden migrant crime, but it's too long. So let's just call it migrant crime, and everyone's going to know it's because of Biden.
We're back.
We're back.
Are you there, right, Pastor?
Well, yeah.
You listen to that young man talk about what was going on. It's amazing what they don't put out on Fox News or the lamestream media. You know, we've been telling how bad it is, but when you have a source like that, it really brings it home, doesn't it?
Yeah. The good news, though, they're being sued. These big companies are being sued, and one of the big ones, now that what's his name has taken over, and it's X. He's going more conservative. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yeah.
Formerly known as Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, and so
he's lost a lot of money, but he's bringing more truth out than we've ever had before.
Yeah, and so little by little, programs like this one, we have more and more internet sites that are, we're pushing hard back against the elite. They're trying to censor us. You know, they're control freaks. They want to control our every move, don't they?
Exactly. And this is what I can't understand, the people that are sitting by watching. What's going on is it's so clear that they want to control everything about you. Now, maybe there's a lot of people out there that go, okay, I don't have to make any decisions, do anything, but if you look at the people that are homeless, the people that have lost their jobs, that are living in vehicles, that are living in tents, people cannot afford rental property right now. If you look at what's going on in America, it's pretty bleak, and it looks like it's going to get a lot worse. They were showing different people, restaurant people have come out. A lot of these restaurants are not going to be in business. They've raised the minimum wage, and they're already have a very, very small profit margin. By the time their insurance has gone up, their rent has gone up, the cost of food, we know some places it isn't the what they say it is. Some food is between 20 and 50% higher than it was before Biden started, you know, all the big federal spending and pouring all this money in the economy. And we are in a very bleak time. And, folks, we need to all of us be praying for this country, that people wake up, see the danger. Years ago, I remember hearing about the frogs in the pot of water. If you drop a frog into a pot of hot water, it jumps out. But if you put them in a pot of water, then turn up the heat and gradually bring up the heat, the frogs just stay until they're cooked into frog legs.
Yeah.
When it's gradual, they don't see the danger. They don't leap. They don't get hurt, so they don't leap out. And that's what's happening. People have just been putting up with this, Pastor Ernie, for so many years. This is bad. This has gotten worse. The violence worse. The cost of living's gotten worse. My insurance has gone up. My rent's gone up. They're being numbed to the danger, like that frog in the boiling water, and they're not waking up.
Well, they tried to eliminate the middle class. You've got the elite class, and the Democrats, you know, the vast majority of billionaires are Democrats. They're all Democrats, these people who want to control, you know, your life. And what they depend to them, mammon, is God. Mammon is their god.
And it's also a power trip. A lot of these people look at The View, those ladies on The View, it's a power trip.
They're not ladies, believe me. You're right.
The female communists, they love the power. They love their opinions, you know. This whole thing is a power trip for them. And, you know, it's all about them. My opinion, I am so smart. I am so wonderful. My opinion. And it's really terrible. But when we try and do the show, we're here to be watchmen on the wall and warn. And you and I, before we ever do a Bible study, preach a sermon, do a radio program, go into prayer, ask God to guide and direct our thoughts, our words, that we may be doing His will. Teaching what He once taught, warning, you know, and everything is about Him. We're working for Him. We're not doing this. We're not drawing a salary. We're not making money. We're certainly not getting rich, because we spend most of our life working for the Lord, not anything that involves income. And we don't go out and endorse products, make money, sell things. And that's the difference. These other people, if you look at what some of these media personalities are making, they make tremendous amounts of money. They live high, lavish lifestyles. And I think that's, to them, that is the epitome of living, is when you are in that group that's invited to the special parties and, you know.
Well, it's the corporate, they're things. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. America has become that way. And here tonight at the Tea Party meeting, you had the candidates come out. And one of the questions that people would ask these candidates, because there was a couple that came, was, have you voted for Democrats in the past? And you see, we have a number of these candidates now that are running as Republicans out here. Now, most of them did not show up to the Tea Party meeting tonight because they didn't want that question. And so here, you got some of the major candidates that voted for Obama. And they voted all the way back, as in the 2022 election, they voted Democrat. Now, they're switching over because more and more people are leaving the Democratic Communist Party. But these are still Democrats. They're just running as Republicans.
It's funny because many years ago, when I first started getting into things, I ran into quite a few ladies that were joining the battle. And most of them had been very liberal in college, had voted liberal, had done certain things, but all of a sudden they had gotten married, had a family, and they had a real conversion and realized the reality set in. And what they were living versus what they were taught were different worlds. And they were some of the best supporters. They were some of the people working with Phyllis Schlafly and Eagle Forum and working with some of those groups, Conservative Women for America, Concerned Women for America. And there was some of the best people have converted, like Ronald Reagan was a Democrat and realized the error, but in between there are all these other phonies who are just...
here's a good example.
Championship? How do you tell the real from the phony? That's the question.
Here's a good example. I started to read this before we went to break, but New York State GOP Chairman Ed Cox exposed. GOP leader is a progressive Green New Deal double agent who handpicks bad Republican candidates to lose to his commie pals, and we have the receipts. And here, this Ed Cox must resign. He's a donkey in elephant's clothing. It's been discovered that Ed Cox, chairman of the New York Republican State Committee, and you can see the evidence there, sits on the board of League of Conservative Voters, which controls a network of at least five PACs, all registered as liberal and attached to a broader national network for far-left super PACs, including the Beat Trump Climate Unity Fund. And so there you go. And that tells you right there. It's they're right out in the open with this stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. So you have to really do your due diligence, look into people, ask the right questions. You can't wait till a couple of days before the election to decide who you're going to vote for. You're going to have to start realizing that governing, self-government, means doing the work. Madison said we're supposed to be a people that were capable of self-government. That meant controlling ourselves, sustaining ourselves, according to God's Ten Commandments. And we were supposed to govern, control, and sustain. In other words, make our own money, control our behavior, and join in, being the sovereigns in the government and knowing what's going on so that we can be our own rulers. And that concept I think they quit teaching that in the 1900, they quit teaching stuff like that in the public school system.
Yeah, well, hang tight, because we're up against the break. We'll be right back.
He made the ground, the mountains high, and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All righty. Hey, Joe, you know what? As a Ukrainian man, he's selling poison for suicide online. And here now, the British Broadcasting Company has busted this guy for selling the poison that was linked to 130 deaths. Now, there's a bottle here, and it shows you, and he's got the skull and crossbones right up on the label. Big label says poison in very clear, large letters. Caution, and people are ordering it, and they're taking it to die.
The suicides are up in the military. They're up all around the world, not just in the United States. And it's interesting, things like this, if you go back, Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Beck stuff that back in the 50s and stuff, the suicide rate in America was terribly low when people were going to church on Sunday. Families, town I lived in, almost everybody was at one of the churches on Sunday, and things like this were almost non-existent. You hardly ever heard of a suicide, and now it's daily in the news. As you get God out of school, out of government, out of life, well, this is what happens.
You know, it's just an amazing thing. It shows you, the guy's name is Leonid Zakutenko, and he's being interviewed, and he's saying that he ships about five packages out a week, for people to kill themselves with. It's an amazing thing.
How could somebody, you know, you and I were in the military, we, you know what violence is, and but how you could send out stuff that you know people were going to use to take their life and make money at it. It just, to me, it's unreal, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing nowadays. But, you know, they don't have to buy that poison. There's something that kill you just as quick. It's called fentanyl. And, boy, the U.S. has to get serious about stopping the full flow of this deadly drug into the country. Lawmakers in Oregon backpedaled passing a bill last Friday to criminalize the possession of small amounts of drugs that were once decriminalized. Measure 110 ended criminal penalties in 2020 for the possession of some amounts of drugs while supposedly expanding access to addiction drugs. The move to roll back decriminalization comes on the heels of the 41.55% increase in drug overdose deaths. That's almost half, almost double, you know?
Yeah, just about double.
There you go. So in Oregon, in Multnomah County Sheriff's Office recorded the agency's roughly 58,000 fentanyl pills and 16 pounds of fentanyl powder were seized while processing evidence.
Oh, Lord, that's enough to kill
the entire country.
Thousands, millions, maybe.
Yeah. And you know, a number of these DEA agents have gotten sick and some have died from
just
being exposed.
Handling, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take
pretty
much.
Toxic stuff. Hey, I don't like bringing up certain things, but I am going to quit buying a product. It's called Doritos. Have you heard the story of what Doritos company did? They are the, it was Doritos Spain, and it's run by PepsiCo. And what they did, they hired a random
trans thing. I saw that, yeah.
The name is Samantha Hudson. Well, Samantha is really a male. Tries to pretend she's a female. And so they hired her. Well, 2 days after they hired her, they fired her. Well, why? Well, somebody didn't vet this person. She's got a large following on the internet. Likes or whatever. And so they hired her. She is a anti-capitalist. She's a Marxist. She also does some singing, I guess. She, he, she, it. I'm trying to read this. Ripped the Catholic Church. Advocates for the destruction of the nuclear family. Put out some totally insane tweets. Now, I looked at a couple of them. She, one of the things that had to be translated, she was in the middle of the street in Mallorca in her panties screaming, "I'm a nymphomaniac," in front of a beautiful 8-year-old girl. And she put up on the internet, "I want to do hooligan things like putting a 12-year-old girl in the back door. I hate women who are victims of rape, who turn to self-help centers to overcome their traumas." And some other really weird stuff that I can't figure out how to say without getting in trouble. So here was all this stuff up on social media. David Hookstead at Outkick.com went up and, you know, put some pictures of her media presence. And the minute it hit the internet all over the world, they turned around and Doritos turned around and fired her for some odd reason. And I think it's time to do Bud Light to Doritos and to let the people know why, Doritos wasn't is run, like I said, by PepsiCo. But this is just a simple case of they did not know who they were hiring to represent their product. And that's just as bad as doing it on purpose where they were promoting the, you know, transsexual stuff, but not vetting the person. Here she's an actual pedophile. She, you know, has all kinds of stuff about wanting to have sex with young girls.
Well, you know, that's
we need to come down on them hard. People have to learn this is not acceptable.
That is so prevalent, Joe. The entire elite Democratic Communist Party, pedophilia, you know, is so prevalent within that.
Yeah, but it's not in mainstream America. It's not in the Midwest and the people that make this country great. And it's time we raised a voice and said, you know, Doritos. I like Doritos, or my, you know. But, yeah, no, not going to buy that stuff anymore. And I'm going to make some phone calls and letters and try and find out who I can send my complaint to and say, this total lack of vetting your brand ambassador, you call it, your spokesperson, you know, person, this is just not acceptable.
Well, you remember last June when Cracker Barrel went woke and they started making sodomite rocking chairs with sodomite sayings and that on her. Well, guess what happened? People stopped going there. A number one, people went there, they saw those, and they just said, you know, this doesn't look good. And, you know, if they got this out there and they're handling my food.
Yeah.
And then the quality of the food dropped way off. And so Cracker Barrel went woke, and they figured they better reverse that if there's something before they go broke. And that's what's happened to a lot of these companies that went woke. They went broke.
Yeah, well, that's. I hope it works, because we can. That's one way you can fight back. One thing you can do, and you can tell the company, you can tell the store, no, I'm not buying this product, and here's why. And they have places where you can go to their website, and you can, you know, register your complaint and tell them, you know, we're not buying this product. One thing, I want to push a book real quick. Looked at the time. I ordered Blood Money, author Peter Schweitzer. We talked about it on the radio. He was being interviewed by Mark Levin. And Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. And as I've been reading, looking into this, there's enough stuff there that we should be able, we should put some of these, Mitch McConnell, Gavin Newsom, some of these people should be in jail instead of running around.
All of them should be. I mean,
Schweitzer's got the goods and the information. You know, if I were rich, I would take and buy a copy of this book and send it to every Congress critter in America. And I'll hope that someone will read it and say, hey, you want proof of different things? It's right here, you know?
This is why you have Trump derangement syndrome, is because, remember, Trump used to be a part of, he was a Democrat. When he found out about what was going on over there at Epstein Island.
He wasn't happy with it, right?
No, he came back, he said, that is not right, that is a lot of really bad things. He was not happy with that at all. And, you know, he was kind of like a strange one because, you know, when they would have their parties with all the hoi polloi, Trump doesn't drink and he doesn't do any kind of drugs.
Yep.
And so he kind of stood out, but he was like, they thought he was, you know, a little strange for them. But anyhow, he knew what they were doing. He was, you know, with the elite class, and when he went conservative, they, it's like within the collective. You see how Nancy Pelosi, how she kept an iron fist, kept them all in lockstep. Within the collective, and today, the Democrats, no matter how evil, how wicked the legislation is, they'll vote in lockstep. But the Republicans, unfortunately, because of the rhinos within, you know, it's not the case. But, yeah, pedophilia is just absolutely, within the elite class, the Democratic Communist Party, the whole party's flush with pedophilia.
Yeah. Looking at election returns. We got time. Trump is winning big time all over the place, and as the new states like Utah and California come up, Trump's leading like 66% of the vote, 74% in California, 66% in Utah, with very few votes in. They've been saying Nikki Haley won in New Hampshire. And all of a sudden, that has gone away, and I looked at some of the figures. She was winning by, 4 percentage points. Well, it keeps going down. The voting isn't over. The counting isn't over. And so all of a sudden, the projected win, we're not bragging about it, but it was one of the most liberal states. And then there was something kind of unusual.
He won California 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, Jason Palmer beat out Joe Biden in the American Samoa caucus, and nobody knows who he is, but this was quite a loss that somebody beat Joe Biden, and he's a nobody. He's a totally unknown. I've never heard his name or anything. So there's a lot of speculation that, boy, there's a lot of people not happy with Joe Biden. Here this big Super Tuesday. A lot of people didn't even bother to go out and vote.
Yeah, well, it's remember when they take polls too, they always
Vermont,
weigh the
I'm
polls.
Sorry, Vermont, it just hit me. I said the wrong state, Vermont.
Yeah, I know. I was watching that. She was up like 49.5 to his 47, but I don't know what it is now.
She's still running 40. She's running under 50, 49.8, but she's only up by, she's under 4 points, and there's still quite a bit to go. It's been fluctuating, so depending on what counties or whatever, she still might not, you know.
Can you see how much, what percentage of the vote is in?
93%.
She'll probably get it then.
She might win one, but that,
have they called it yet?
Well, they did earlier. There were headlines they called it, but then they took those down. So I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay, well.
Anyway, that kind of gives you a little bit of the night. But Trump, most places like Alabama, he's going like 84%. North Carolina, he's 74%. Virginia, 63%. Different places where, you know. He's just cleaning house all over.
Well, it's time for you to do what you have to do. How much time do we have, Style? You got 6 minutes, Joe.
All through the program, one of the things that to me, kept coming up was, as faith went away in this country, as we... back Madeline Murray O'Hara ranted and raved about God in school. The nation kicked God out of school, and then it was out of government and out of business. And as we did that as a nation, sin has risen. And I would just, took a look. In fact, the Bible Answer for Every Need, we've talked about it, and I grabbed my little Bible Answer for Every Need book. Sin, one in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You go through John 8:34. Jesus said unto the, answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, your master. And in Isaiah 59, in the very beginning, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. Sin is what it's all about. It's what separates us from God. It's what keeps us from being spiritually healthy. It keeps us from being happy. Sin is what keeps us from living to our full potential, having peace, joy in our hearts. It brings pain, corruption, suffering. But there is a simple answer. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. Remember that old John 3:16, but it's so true. For God so loved the world that what he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The law already did that. But that the world through him might be saved. And we see in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession. We have to confess to the Father that we are sinful. We have sinned by our thoughts, words, deeds. We've sinned by not only those things we've done, but all those things that we left undone that we were supposed to be doing. And the wages of sin is death. But if we go with a repentant heart and call upon the Father and ask his forgiveness, God is swift to forgive a repentant heart. So if we confess, we can be saved. And then we can call Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, and ask Jesus to be our Lord, Lord of our life, that we give ourselves to him completely, without reservation, hesitation, that we want to be his. We want to be children of the kingdom, children of God, sons and daughters. And he, through his grace, will send us the down payment on eternal life, down payment on our salvation. He will send us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come and live within our body. Our bodies then become a holy, a temple. We house the living God within us. We become our own high priest. We have a personal relationship, not a religion, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. What? Through that indwelling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we now have a direct line to God. We're our own high priest, and he will change us forever. We will find peace, joy, happiness we have never felt.
30 seconds, Joe.
And we know that he said he has gone to give us a dwelling place, a home in heaven. And that it's the greatest decision you can make, but only you can make it. You have to make it yourself. You have to realize you're a sinner. You need a Savior. You must repent. And it's a decision that... it's the greatest one you'll ever make to accept Jesus.
Absolutely,
Christ.
It is. It's the most important thing anyone has ever done, could ever do, or whatever.
Amen.
Well, we're at that point where we say good night.
Good night.
We say God bless you all out there, and we also say remember always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring. out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.